Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. Good to see everyone this morning, and it's been a busy but beautiful weekend. The Band of Brothers had their beautiful rodeo, and the Watered Women. Yes, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Had a lovely time, and outreach was great last night. So praising the Lord for all the wonderful pieces that are going on. And for the dessert contest, I want to say, feel free to think about using monk fruit or erythritol, or you can use some honey for some sugar-free desserts if you want. No? Okay. I'll give a prize to the monk fruit dessert. And then also really getting excited because our youth leader, Mike's going to debut his acting talents on that talent show. So let's be excited for that. He didn't know that till now. Okay. But I am very excited for us to get to hear from Paul and Nancy about the work that they were able to take part in Israel and what the Lord God Almighty is doing there. And it's an interesting time that we are in because so many are straying from what the Word of God clearly says about Israel. And it becomes something where, you know, no, Genesis 12 is to Abraham. It has nothing to do with the country. Or no, this is that just so many different lies. And that's just what we have to call it, what it is, lies and deceit. And amongst the times that we're in, I'm grateful for the founding of this body of believers and where it will always go anchored on the Word of God. And we will never compromise on what the Word of God says. And it's just quite clear. And it's important for us to continue to support and stand with Israel. And I remind us when we say that, because it's also distorted, it's not saying we agree with the politics and every single policy that's placed. We agree with what the Word of God says and the promises. And we look at what is to come in the eschatological timeline. And we realize this is, there's much that's important that takes place here. Read Zechariah 12, 13, looking at that. There's much that's to come that's important, and we can't ignore that. Passage I wanted to share before Paul and Nancy come up is the beginning of Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, this is an important and interesting passage. When October 7th took place, this is actually the passage I shared that following the next day, because it was just once I heard what took place, the Lord brought this to mind. But it's this reminder for Israel, for us who are grafted in, the help, it's not as though it's coming from, in this case, when the psalmist is writing this, that Jerusalem is going to be the place that help's going to come. The author of the psalm is looking unto getting there, but that's not where the help comes from. The help comes from the Lord God Almighty. And that reminder that the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is always working and moving. It's that song we sing, even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. And when we think of what we've seen since October 7th, I stood in awe many times, and we talked about it some of the prayer evenings, where there'd be all these attacks coming, and majority of the missiles intercepted. Because the Lord God Almighty protects. The Lord God Almighty, His will always be done. And as we hear this update, I'd encourage us to just ask the Lord to show you the different areas, the different ways the Lord is moving and working. And to remind ourselves that for us, the Lord's not going to let our feet be moved. We have to stand on the rock of salvation. But in a time where culture is moving around what the Word of God says, we stand on the Word of God, and we will not be moved. And we will continue to say, Lord, here we are. Send us. Use us as your instruments. Use us as your vessels for your glory. Amen. So very excited to hear what they are going to share. So come on up here, Paul and Nancy, and we shall hear what's going to go on. And Paul said they should probably, they'll finish their talk probably around 12:15, 12:30. So, okay, come on up. And that's okay.
Whoa. So that's pretty. Yeah, we didn't know we were doing this today. So to be really quick. So I guess we should start off by just saying this. we will say Anaknu, Ovim, Veakim, Veakot, Shalanu. So, does anybody know what that means? Maybe Nancy didn't even, because I probably did it bad. But it just basically said, Shalom, peace. We love you, our brothers and sisters. So there we go. Just that's a little bit from Israel, just to get us off the start. So we'll just go ahead and start out. Somehow I've got this all tangled up. Oh, now I see. Okay, we can go to the next slide. I can do that. So before we even get started, we just thought it was important to thank you on many, many different levels for your prayers, your encouragement. We know you are doing that all along the way. And believe me, we needed it, because this was a trip of enormous spiritual attack, really much the whole time we were there. And we'll give you some of the details of that. There is much to pray for continuously. I know we talk about this often. Probably did it this week, I'm guessing, on Wednesday, for all the seeds planted for the trip recently that David and others took to India, and the same is true here. I think God's going to do a mighty thing with this, and you guys will be, I think, hopefully be very encouraged. I know that we have been faithful as a church for the financial support to Almond Branch, and so doing, I'm just going to parrot what David says, that you guys were there with us in so many ways and will continue to be there long after this is over. So anyway, we just wanted to start off with that. So why did we go in the first place? It was a long trip. We left on the 29th and came back 2 weeks later. Felt like a really long time. I don't know what you think. I know Nancy did, but we were in Kiryat Shmona, which is in the far north, which I'll show you on a map in just a minute. But the word Kiryat is a lot of places in Israel, and I finally asked somebody what it meant, and it basically is the designation for something that's a small town. So it wouldn't be applied to a place like Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, but it's a small community. They do have a mayor, but they're small villages, or at least they started out that way. Kiryat Shmona is actually getting pretty big. We spent 4.5 days at this Renanim school for children with special needs. It was just an amazing place, and you'll get to meet some of the children in just a few minutes. That's where we started, and we had a big project there, and then we went to the heart of Judea Samaria, at the Samaritan Brigade base that was literally, you could see Mount Gerizim from where we were. It's near the biblical city of Shechem. It's really where tons of the Old Testament actually took place. They now have uncovered the burial place of Joseph and the altar, Joshua's altar, right in there. This is like right along the road of the patriarchs. The city of Shechem is no longer called Shechem. It's called Nablus, which is just it means new city. I don't remember all of the details about that, but that was named long, long, long time ago. But
we were greeted in the very early in the morning with the Muslim call to worship, which it's just like a satanic sounding, like sort of screaming sound that was just, oh.
Being on the military base, I would
just pray during that.
Wanted to borrow an RPG and just take out that sound. I have to be honest with you about that. It was just, we didn't do that, but anyway, we'll go on. So, let's go to the next slide. Why did we even go? And I think this is really important. I would say it was mostly about establishing relationships, which I think happened to a very, very great degree. But we wanted to show people the genuine Christians love the people of Israel, God's chosen people. And that came across very clearly. I can't tell you how many times we said that, because we met so many different people along the way. We wanted to represent as a group, by how we acted, by what we did, Christ's love, Yeshua's love for them in a very real and tangible way. this was a trip to begin establishing relationships with these two different places, that things that will continue in the future, and hopefully we'll be able to involve, would have been good to have some other people here on this trip as well, I will tell you that, and then to very much bless in a very tangible way the people of Israel by the project. I think the next slide is, I don't know if it's our, somehow it's not. If you can advance to the next slide for some. Yes, go on. I think it's the next. Oh, so here's how we started out. We got there a couple days early, and I'm showing you a piece of luggage because we were first greeted with Nancy's entire bag being not able to be found. So we, long flight, overnight, not much sleep, waited there for 2 hours, had to go to the baggage area. It was just not good. They delivered it. We had to pick it up on Shabbat because they don't deliver, because they don't operate on Shabbat. So that was an interesting thing. The middle picture is just a view of the beautiful Mediterranean Sea. We saw the sunset there every night. But it is, I mostly put it there to be a reminder that the locals there, and I'm not telling those of you who've been there probably have heard this before, but it's they call it Sin City. It's a very, very secular place. Almost all the restaurants are open. These beaches were taken place on the actual day of, this picture was taken place on the day of Shabbat, where the beaches were just packed with people. That would not be considered in the Sabbath walk or a Sabbath activity, but it was like business as usual. You could go to any city in the U.S. and you wouldn't know you were any place different. And we did finally find the one place where they made cappuccinos, and we got that, which was really kind of a cool thing. We just thought we'd show you that because that was the one good cup of coffee we had while we were there. Didn't want to drink it, but we did. We learned a lot about Shabbat while we were there this time, because at the hotel where we were staying in Tel Aviv, and it was a Shabbat dinner, and we were there, and I think these people felt sorry for us because we were sitting alone and asked us if we wanted to join their table, and we just said thank you, but no, we're okay. And as we were leaving, I went and talked to this guy. His name is Martin Port. Believe it or not, he friended me, connected me with his son, which I didn't really want. I'm not son-in-law, somebody else, not this guy, not in the picture. They were extremely nice. He was on LinkedIn a couple days later talking to Bill Clinton. So, I mean, he's a very connected guy, but he was super nice. And we spent quite a bit of time telling them why we were there. You know, we came there. We love the people of Israel. We're Christians. I mean, we shared all that stuff. So pray for him, because we left a lot of seeds in our conversation with him on that evening. I mean, it was amazing, because it was a full decked out buffet. Most of the tables had they had the Shabbat wine, and then they would say a prayer, then read whatever the passage of the day was. But then they were just like pigging out because it was a huge, huge, huge buffet. It was really interesting. It was really interesting to observe and contrast this picture to what we'll show you in a little bit. So the big lights. This is on the military base, but it was the only picture we had of everybody. But this is our team. I want you to notice a few things. The mean age of the group of people who went. We're probably mid-60s to mid-70s. These were not young adults. We wish we'd had some young adults based on everything that was done. But this was actually on the military base. In the middle is the commander of the entire region. He called himself, it was at some point he was a colonel general. We had to blot out his face because there are people that spend their entire times identifying facial recognition, and they track people down and kill their families and stuff like that. So that's partly why that is. But everybody, we got up every single day between 5 and 5:30 in the morning and worked until sometimes with lights on in the evening to try to get the work done. It was not a casual trip, little project thing. It was a lot of very hard work. I think we probably moved 2 tons or more of lumber in the various places we went. It was a very, very here are all these oldie and moldies who got all that done by the grace of God. So I just want to say, you have no idea what you're capable of until you actually have to do it. And God provides. So let me go here. So, and I have to acknowledge, Nancy hates the pictures, but so I apologize to her
especially
again.
Especially with no hair.
But but we made, on the left side, the hearts. Nancy made all these hearts, sewed them together, wrote in Hebrew, "We love the people of Israel," put a U.S. Israel flag and a bunch of stickers for the children.
The little pins that have the U.S. and Israel flag together.
And then Velvet ended up making 25 or 30 of these bags that were like little, I don't know what you call them, but what do
They're
you call
them? They're very cleverly folded bags that they were coveted by these women. wanted them.
At the base. We'll have a picture of that later, but it was just a small thing, but you can tell how important things like that were to the people because many of them do not have much in the first place.
And I told them someone from our church had made them. They were, why did they do this? And so I was able to tell them, you know, why we love them and what our God says, their God too, that we should love them and bless them. And it was our privilege to be able to bless them.
Okay. The two dots are where we were. The one at the very top, well, I guess they're red triangle, diamondy things, is in Kiryat Shmona, which is literally when you look
out the
school, you see the mountain range that separates Israel from Lebanon. While the day after we left, if you follow Amir or other sources, there was a ton of bombing right across the border in Lebanon from the IDF trying to take out some of the Hezbollah strongholds. One of the people that you'll meet in the picture lives along that ridgeline. We talked to him a lot, but we sent him a note saying our entire team is praying for you and your safety, and he was very appreciative of that. And then the one in the middle in that green shaded area is what the map calls the West Bank. But it's literally around Route 60, which is the way of the patriarchs. Now, it was funny because when we left, this is the way they would have traveled. When we left Kiryat Shmona, we had to go all the way down to near Tel Aviv to drop a rental car off. So that would have been, and then if we had gone further north or gone further east, we would have gone up to Jerusalem on Route 1, which is, if you've been to Israel, that's the normal way. And that's the way people would have avoided Judea Samaria back in the day. Back in the day of Christ's time. But we went back up on Route 60, right through what would be the way of the patriarchs, the way Abraham, the way Joshua, the way many of the people that we know in the Old Testament would have traveled during that time. So, Kiryat Shmona, we were there for 4 days. And this one, I don't know why I keep having... Trying to get to the next slide. So this is the school, the special needs school, as we walk into the door. And that picture on the right, which I'll show you again, is huge. It's about 700 or 800 square feet. And that's where they wanted us to build just a deck. No
a
big
huge
deal.
Deck.
It was a humongous deck. And I wish I don't see Francis. He should take a look at this. Because this was an amazing project. The difference between one corner and the next. This is not the original place. This was one of the surprises we got when we got there. It was not where it was originally going to be, which was pretty flat and level. This had a distance of almost 3.5 feet from one corner to the other corner. So we had to do a lot of engineering for that. This is one of the first people we meet, the lady in the black shirt with the... long sleeve shirt over it, is a local artist. She works at the school. She teaches art to the children. Her name is Santa Shushan. And she is a local artist. Her brother was killed on October 7th. you know, she could tell it was just very traumatic for her. So part of how she dealt with that was to do what you see on the slide. She asked each, because the people from that area, the students, the teachers, were displaced. When the war started and all the bombs started going off in earnest, not on October 7th, but in the months that followed, they had to be relocated. So they had to leave all their things behind, go wherever they all went to different places. It wasn't all went to one place. And then they eventually were able to come back, and that's part of the reason why we're there, because there's some things needed to be done and repaired and so forth. Because the school was used as a staging area for some of the military when the activities were very intense along the Syria-Lebanese border. So she asked everybody, say, so tell me what was the thing you missed the most when you had to leave, and then what thing do you miss the most from where you were when you had to come back? And so she created these wax images to represent that. I know you can't tell what they all are, but the one person who you'll meet in a minute he's like a horticulturalist, does all that kind of stuff at the school with the students, and he had a wax model of pruning shears, and then wherever he went, they had croissants, which he liked a lot, so he missed that, and that was the two things he did. And so there's going to be a big local art show, which will raise money, where they'll display all of these wax objects, which are going to be in the hundreds by the time she gets them all done. She was still working on them when we got there, but it was really kind of an interesting thing, and it was therapeutic for her to be able to do that. Go to the next slide, if I can get to. So this is the that brown area on the left side is the area where we had to build this ginormous deck. In the middle are literally hundreds of the deck boards there are much thicker than the ones we use here in the U.S., but there was a big team that was staining all those, and then we were beginning to assemble the substructure in the next slide. Every day, kids would come out there. I mean, there would be kids from the various grades. It'd be some in high school, some much younger. They would talk to us. We'd let them help when we could. It was just really interesting. I mean, they were all very curious, but you could tell there are kids in wheelchairs, kids with walkers, kids with braces, kids with obvious, mental deficiencies, I guess, for lack of a better term, and then there were people in between.
But all of the children recognized and expressed to us that they realized that America was their cherished friend, that they appreciated America very much. And one little boy, when I was working with the children, doing a craft with them, and one little boy came in with his group, and he stood up right away and he said, "I love Trump." We were just like, what? I mean, I just can't imagine a child in America being that politically, like, he was very politically aware.
But they definitely
funny.
Knew. They did. So anyway, that's what we spent our free hours working very hard doing these various projects. And I don't know why it's not going. So the person in the upper left-hand corner was the person I mentioned before. He was the one with the pruning shears and the croissant. His name is Pinny. Bottom left is a person by the name of Dan. These people were amazing. I mean, they were loving. This was not a job. This was an avocation, and it showed on how they acted with the children. It was just incredible. The guy in the bottom corner left is, his name is Dan, will work with kids to finish some of the things we didn't get to do, didn't get to finish. They're trying to teach these kids things that they can do. It could be things like working in a bakery. It could be doing small seamstress things. It can be doing wood things, serving in some way so that they have a functional role when they leave the school. And then the person in the middle with the light green shirt on is the principal. She was an amazing individual as well. Her name was Sharon, and then there's several other school members. This girl on the far right, I think I was, sometime in the afternoon, I was going in to find some water or something like that, was walking down the hall. Her name, she came out every single day. Her name is Natalie. She came out every single day, sat along the side, watched us. We would talk to her. And I was walking by that one day, and she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I was like, "What?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Are you?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And I said, you know, gave her a high five, and I said, "Well, you are my sister in Christ, and I'm your brother in Christ." I mean, it was just really a nice little pick-you-up in the midst of what we felt like was a labor camp in some cases, because we were working so long and hard. But it was all joyful. Let me go to the next slide. Yeah, I'll let you do.
Yeah, this is where I spent most of my time, myself and two other women. We were assigned to work with the children. They were really wanted to meet us and interact with us. And so the two women from Philly, they had decided upon the craft, which was the handprints there. They wanted it very simple because of the different levels of functioning that the children had. They wanted something simple, but that we could interact with them and talk with them. And so what we did is we had flat pans that had some like white washable paint in it, and we would put a surgical glove on the children, and they would dip it in the paint and then put it on those pieces of fabric. And their name was on them, and then we strung them together in the hall. And they seemed to really enjoy that craft, and they were very excited to talk with us and use the best of their English with us. And like I said before, they were very political and would ask questions about politics, and they also, we had, they would complete their craft in here, and then we would see them in the halls, and they were so excited to come and hug us, and thank you for coming. And the one day we had a worship time,
we'll get to that.
Well, Paul will get, but yeah, they... Yeah,
counting.
Wait till you see how they worship. It was awesome.
The counting.
Yeah. Oh, the counting. Yes. So the women from Philly, they devised the little craft that we did. And they would take their hand, and they were explaining, you know, take it and then hold their hand in and count to 10. And then put it on the fabric. So they were going, taking the first few kids and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then over. And so I did my first one, and I said, Ahat, Shtayim, Shalosh, Arba, Hamesh, Shesh, Sheva, Shmone, Tesha, Esser. And they all clapped. They were so happy that I would speak their language. And so the others learned it, and it kind of created a little bit of a bond, and so it was just cute that they all clapped that we could do that. And this was the sewing machine that we had. You can see it's a little old. Where's Velvet at? Velvet would understand. It did not work. We had to get someone in to help us get it moving, but we did get it moving. It was an adventure, and it was just such a privilege to be around these kids. They're so sweet and loving and thankful, and they just blessed us more than we blessed them, but they were so excited that we were there, that we would come and work with them. And when we would see them after this out and about on the grounds, they would just want to come up and hug us. And that was very, very blessing. It blessed me a lot.
So one of the things that happened every day, we got to do it, I think, three times. They would gather. We would be out working. They would call us all in. we would, there was a big area where the kids would gather, and they would sing, dance, whatever. It was actually kind of fun. The last day, which is this, what this is from, we joined in with them, so they sang some songs in Hebrew.
They were worship songs.
They were worship songs, which we were able to, we could read part of it, but some of the words we didn't know. And then our team sang a couple of worship songs in English as part of this as well. Now, it was interesting, so you'll see this, but that person I mentioned, his name was Penny, who lived up right along the ridge line of the border between Israel and Lebanon. We looked back at him and during all this time, there, and he had tears in his eyes. Because I think this, and again, I mean, we have many people had conversations with him. I can't, like, give you the verbatims, but he heard the gospel. He clearly understood the love that we had for the people there, for him, for the students, and then the songs, I think, just brought those home in a way that was very meaningful to him. So we're praying for him and for all the people at the school. So this is a short video that is just the kids singing. We don't have the part. I don't know why. I couldn't find it where they were like doing all this kind of stuff. But you'll see. You'll get it's just to get a sense of it. It's only about. That was just a little. Couldn't get it started. Now we can't get it to stop. But anyway,
that was the after lunch. Yeah, I mean,
it went for a really long time. So we weren't just playing with the kids. This fence that you see over there did not exist. They wanted it for privacy because some of the kids are very self-conscious, and so they don't want people from the outside. So that wasn't there, and now it's there. And then this is a picture of the deck. Which was ginormous, has two separate levels. We had to have, there had to be a handicap ramp between the levels on the deck and then an entrance ramp, which is what we got cut out, but they get to finish. But those are actually students there from the school who are screwing in some of the deck boards that needed to be done. So this will be a project that all the kids from the school will be able to come and have their assembly that we saw inside outside, because the weather there is accessible most of the time. So this next part is the two separate videos. So on the, there's three. The first two are a few minutes, the last one's about 10 minutes, but I think it summarizes what we were able to communicate, both on the base as well as at the school. But this is, so these are girls that Nancy knew, right?
And that I worked with.
So there. When you see this,
very disabled as far
had
as
trouble doing
their
the,
cognitive ability, but
so, but and had trouble. They needed instruction to do the handprints. I mean, they were not, and yet here they are in front of their most of the school, all of us, all sitting down, 22 of us around them, and here they go. We were kind of blown away by this. So I know it's, first of all, they'll be here next week for the Christmas performance. We recruited them.
We tried.
I mean, it's such a huge thing for them to just to do that. Okay. Now, sorry, I got to go to the next slide. Somehow this wants to keep playing. We can go to the next slide. So these are two videos. One of them is about 5 minutes, and one of them is about 12 minutes. So I want to play. It's a little bit longer because some of them have Hebrew translated to English and English translated to Hebrew, but these are things that were spoken both, well, by us to both the people in Kiryat Shmona, but also to the in front of the base commander, all the soldiers on Shabbat in at the Sumerian Brigade base, that really explained why we were there. And so I think it's worthwhile hearing what was actually said to them. It was communicated by us in many different ways, one-on-one throughout the time, but this was done in a group. And then the first is the school basically put on this little ceremony to thank us, but I think just you'll see the impact that was, I think, made by our group, praise the Lord, for the time we spent there. So we'll all go ahead and meet.
Thank you very much. Dear friends of the Almond Bridge Initiative, Honorable Mayor Mr. Avichai Stern, Osnat, Director of the Education Department, dear guests, I am excited to stand before you and summarize the four wonderful days we have experienced with you. You came to us with so much desire to give and enter into a huge project and built an amazing deck for us, a wonderful wooden fence, and worked together with our students in a variety of gardening activities in the nursery and wonderful arts. The students and the staff were so excited to meet you and work with you. You know how to give so much respect and love, and it moves us very much. I thank you on behalf of the students, parents, and staff, and wish you to always be on the given side with a smile and love you gave us during these days. You brought hearts together and made us very happy. Thank you very much. I would like to invite Honorable Mr. Avichai Stern.
If we can't hear this part, but this is the mayor of Kiryat Shmona who was part of this. We could go ahead and stop this one because I can't hear it very well. Can you hear it very well? I could. For some reason, they didn't use microphones. That's the reason, and they weren't speaking very loud. But he basically thanked us for the work as well. The next slide, the next one is John Hessler, who came to our church in June of this year, and Jill, both speaking now. So it's going to go back and forth between English and Hebrew, but I think this one I could hear pretty well when I listened at home.
I'm going to speak, and then Jill's going to speak, but Dotam is going to translate for us. Do you want the mic?
I've got a loud voice. First of all, thank you. On behalf of Almond Branch, we are so thankful that we are able to be here with you, to spend these last 4 days with you, to do the work that we've been able to do among you, but also to share in the love that you've shown to us. To build a deck, to build a wall,
or a fence to work with the children and to do these things. All of these things were nice and fun and great to do. But at the end of the day, it's just a deck, it's just a fence. And these things get built, and someday they'll probably fall apart. Not the deck, but some of the walls.
לבנות דק או לבנות גדר, זה רק דברים שבונים בסופו של דבר ודברים. ובסופו של דבר גם הם מתישהו יתקלקלו יעשו כמובן חוץ מהדק, אבל כשאנחנו תמיד.
I'm usually asked to speak for Almond Branch because I'm a big guy with a big mouth. But Jill is the big boss. God gave Jill a vision 16 years ago to start the Almond Branch Initiative. And the theme of Almond Branch is to bring hope in the face of hardship.
תמיד מבקשים ממני לדבר בשם אלמון ברנץ', כי אני בחור גדול עם קול גדול, אבל החוסר האמיתי זה ג'ין. ולה היה חזון לפני 16 שנים להקים את הארגון הזה.
Look, we're Christians from America, and the world is confused, and we all know it. The world is confused about Israel. But we say all the time, a real Christian, a true Christian, understands that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and that he loves Israel, and we believe because the Tanakh and the Berakha HaKodesh says that God has a glorious future for Israel.
אנחנו נוצרים מארצות הברית, והיום יש המון המון גיבול בעולם, אבל אנחנו מבינים, מכירים ויודעים שעם ישראל הוא בת עיניו של אלוהים, והברית החדשה אומרת את זה, והתנ"ך אומר את זה, וזה מה שאנחנו מאמינים.
And history has divided the church and Israel, but we believe that God wants the church and Israel to walk together. Here's why. God called Israel and God called his people the church, his people Israel and his people the church, to be the light of the world. So only together can we be the light of the world.
אז ההיסטוריה הפרידה את המצרות מישראל. אלוהים רואה בהם כוח שהוא בעצם מאחד.
So, when Jill and my wife Renee and Dave and I came here in August, 2 months ago, and we saw the renovated school, we walked away knowing that this was where the Lord wanted us to work.
שהם הגיעו לכאן, ג'ינט וג'ון ורניאל וג'ייט באוגוסט, וברגע שהם יצאו מפה, הם יגיעו שזה הפרויקט שהם רוצים לעשות.
Because a deck is just a deck, and a fence is just a fence. But the relationships that we build בשם ישוע will last forever.
דק זה דק, וגדר זה גדר, אבל הקשרים שבנינו זה מה שישאר עליהם.
And so, we're very thankful to be with you. We're very thankful for the love that you've shown to us. We're very thankful to be able to work in Kiryat Shmona. As I said earlier, this is not our first time in Kiryat Shmona. We built the canteen years ago. We've done clothing outreaches. We've done things after the Second Lebanese War. We've been here a number of times. We love this city. And we believe that God wants us to continue to have a relationship with the people in Kiryat Shmona.
Those are minor birds you're hearing in the background. They're all over the place.
So I'm the big mouth. But God gave Jill a big vision 16 years ago.
took off, it's always been driven by a whole team behind us, and the whole time they've been praying for us, and they've been praying for you. I want to echo what John said, that as we visited different possible projects with you, it was evident that this was the place, because our hearts were knit together and we could feel your spirit right away, that the love and the caring that you have for the kids in this school. And now, after 3 days, all of those feelings have exploded tenfold. It's amazing to see somebody who's a therapist, also a construction worker, and the principal is digging in there and doing every possible chore, staying up late for us, and every single one of you has multiple roles, but the most important, always, always, is the kids first.
To use to describe you guys. We hope it translated right.
Yes, we did not make that mistake. We made that mistake before. Many times. It says, with gratitude for the faculty and staff of Renan Eames School, who devote their time, talents, and skill to the children and young adults entrusted to their care. Each one designed by God with a purpose and immeasurable worth, a treasured reflection of his grace and beauty. It has been our joy to renew these grounds with hearts that seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We have witnessed your compassion, creativity, patience, and understanding as you guide students to bloom where they're planted and to reach their full potential. Here, every student is valued, not by the standards of the world, but by the dignity God bestows. May this school remain a model of growth without limits, everyday kindness, and the joy of the Lord. With thanks for the privilege of serving alongside you as you make Renan Eames the best it can be. And then we chose for you guys Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?
So anyway, I know that was long. I don't apologize. It was worth hearing because it is, in fact, embodied the trip and what we did and what we communicated and the message of the love of Christ to the people that we met and the importance of trying to dispel some of the weirdness that they, as a nation, understand by what they read in the news and what they hear. What they hear the church in general communicating. So it was a great opportunity. We both think that they will, I think we all think, that there will be souls saved as a result of the things they've heard. And we just pray for those that will come behind us and perhaps us again to water the seeds that we think were planted there. So that was the... I thought it was worth doing that because we couldn't capture the one done at the base, which was quite a bit shorter. And there was translation, but anyway. So, tired. We got up every day, 5:30, to praise and worship together, shared scripture, and went out about the day, and oftentimes had to stop and pray in the midst of things, which we'll get to. And then we took off for Judea, Samaria. And I, you know, curious person that I am, I thought, well, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take there. So I popped it up on Waze. And I believe this next slide is what shows up. Warning, you're going to a place that you shouldn't be going to. You could get killed, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But for Israel, they're not supposed to go there at all, which is kind of weird because when you're driving along the road, into that area, there's Jewish people all over the place, even though the population of Judea, Samaria today only has 900,000 Jewish people live there, although I know they're opening 13 new settlements in the area, as opposed to 3 to 4 million Palestinians or people of Muslim religion. So it's very tilted today compared to the past. The base that we went to, the Samarian base, was in the hands of the Jordan until the 60s, I think the War of 67, I think, and then it got taken over and has been there. And their main job is to keep the area safe because, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But so this is where we stayed and slept. I want you to pay attention to the fact that there are 4-inch mattresses on steel frames with nothing in the room, a concrete floor. We had one to ourselves, which was really nice. We were really thankful for that. But it was not 5-star accommodations, just so you know. Anyway, that was just kind of an interesting thing. So our main contact guy at the base, who I think he was like a smidgen from accepting Christ as his Lord before we left. He was a really he was the he was the I guess I don't know what to call him, but he's in charge of acquisitions. So anything that was needed, he was able to go and get. And he went out with us many times because there were what happened at the base. All of the chargers for the batteries for all of the power tools got fried, and this was over Shabbat, so we didn't have anything to work with except for a Palestinian skill saw, which was really not very good. But we cut as much stuff as we could while we were waiting. So there was that. The lumber didn't get delivered. A lot of things just didn't happen. So it was like one obstacle after another the whole time we were there. So most of the people that are there, and I think there's a few people in the audience that are somewhere in their 20s to 30s, which we could have used your help while we were there. Excuse me.
You would have enjoyed the party they invited us to.
They had a welcome party for
the
us.
The young soldiers invited us over to share a meal. They were having a barbecue. It was and all of them wanted to talk to us and wanted to know why we were there and what we were about. It was
really pretty cool. So there was about 500 people on the base on the weekends, which we arrived there like on Thursday late in the day. So we only had part of the day on Friday, and then the base goes down to about 150. Then there are people but there's about 100 or so, maybe 150 that are permanent members. You can't actually become a part of that base until you've completed your service in the IDF and other branches. And then there are people that rotate in for as little as a week to a couple of months from other branches. I did learn a few things that we didn't know. I don't know how many different kinds, but we saw at least 6 or 7. They wear their beret underneath their whatever the flaps are on their uniforms.
Because they don't know what they're called.
Epaulette. Yeah. Epaulettes, of course. That's what I was thinking. At some point. And they, you know, so there were people there who were in communications, people that were in intelligence, people that were in commando forces, people were in the army, people that were in HR. I mean, all these different things would show up along the way. It was pretty cool. And then we actually were invited to a dinner, the Shabbat dinner at the, he went by, he's over not just this base, but a whole region of IDF bases. Called himself, he was called general by some, he called himself a colonel, so we're not totally sure, but he invited us afterwards to, like on the next day, we spent an hour with him in the room that he does, you know, screens all over the place.
He just said, you can ask me anything. I'll tell you anything.
There were a few things that were asked. He said, I could tell you, but then I'd have to shoot you. So we didn't get answers to everything. And then there was actually a housing area. It wasn't huge. That was Bedouins who were soldiers and part of the IDF. So we were, unbeknownst to us, he took us, showed us where his office and stuff was. They took us over to this Bedouin place and had some of the best dessert I think I've ever had in my life on that base. We tried to volunteer to serve there longer, but it was really...
They wouldn't have us.
We had a lot of good stuff in a lot of different places. This was epically good, but anyway, just neither here nor there. The picture taking, you're not supposed to do because, as I said, it puts them and their families at risk if they're out in any kind of social media platform. So this was us giving the little pursy things, I don't know what you call them, that Velvet
foldable.
Made. They loved them. I mean, they loved them. I saw one girl... Like when in the mess hall after she got one, running across just like
to show.
They put other stuff.
Then we ran out of them, and people kept coming.
Like nail files and some other stuff they put inside of them. Things that they, because they don't have anything. I mean, they come. The barracks are what you saw. I mean, they basically, there's nothing material there at all except a place to sleep, community showers and stuff like that, so they don't have a lot of belongings that they take with them. So even small gestures like that were extremely meaningful to them. But we were clear, and we saw these two girls like literally every day while we were there, so we got to know them a little bit, and many others, that they would, and they all asked the same, you know, why are you here? I mean, not in a like a snooty way, but just in a, like, why are you here? And we said, well, come on, what do you mean why we're here? We're young, we're fit, what are you talking about? we did not do that, but they were very genuinely interested, and they would always tell you, you know, they would always, you know, we would tell them, we love you, we love the people of Israel, you know, we're here to just do some things, you know, to help around the base. And Nancy will always point out that they would often say, well, we should be doing this. Why are you doing this? Just open doors for conversations. And when they would say, and you could just tell by the way they were saying things, that they were not just like saying what they thought we wanted to hear. You could tell that it was very genuine and sincere in their hearts. They were very, like, I think moved, for lack of a better term, by the gestures of the things we were doing for them.
Well, they would say, we feel like everybody hates us. And so it was special to them to know that there are lots of Christians who love them. And I know a lot of Christian groups go over there, but they still have this idea that everybody hates them.
So I can tell you the rest of the mess hall did not look like this. This was the beginning of the Shabbat dinner. I just wanted to show you, it was a huge table. There were probably 40 or 50 people sitting there, 22 of us, the general with the red head, and a couple other soldiers. This was just the start. They brought so much food out. I have no idea what they did with it all, because you could barely touch it. There was so much of it. Everything you could imagine was brought out and fill the table. It was just kind of an interesting thing. The picture on the far right, I tried to take a picture from where the group picture was, and because I didn't have the flash on, I just thought it looked cool. It didn't look like that in real, but I just thought it looked cool, so I tossed it in. Anyway, bad picture, but very neat. So this is. Part of what we did, the pictures on the left, I mean, these were all things that, I mean, if you walked around that base, you'd be like, there was just junk everywhere. I mean, trash and piles everywhere, including the room I'll show you in a minute, was filled with junk. Birds had nested in it. I mean, it was just disaster. And part of it, I think, is because there's no ownership. People were rotating through. They do what they do for a week, and then they move on. So some of the permanent areas, like we built some stuff for them in this. This was an area that was all the women's area, just trying to make it look a little less military.
We didn't get the before picture, but trust me, it was really ugly and messy.
It was a disaster.
And we did a lot of cleaning up and painting and put some plants in there and things, and they were very thankful.
And this is an area outside of where the main project was, but we built 9 or so picnic tables for use on the base, often with very could have done them in about a third of the time with the right tools, but often we didn't have them, so we had to use with what we had and made do with what we had, and I think they turned out pretty well too. And then, you know, in the midst of this, this just occurred to me. We were praying because there was something going on, and I remembered. This is, I think Vince tells us, you know, write these things on your heart so you don't forget them. And this was something that I'd known, memorized from times past. But so go back and reread Exodus 3 so you can get the full context. But this is. You know, before going into the promised land, and Moses wasn't even going to go, he knew that, but he didn't care about that. He didn't care about the land of milk and honey. He didn't care about that at all. He basically said, look, if your presence does not go with us or not bring us up from here, how will it be known that your people have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the earth. And basically said, if you read the rest of the context, he's like, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Unless the Lord's with us, I don't want to go. And then fast forward to John, and all the people left after Jesus had spoken, and he asked the disciples, do you want to go too? And he said, well, where would we go? Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And it just crystallized at the time. None of this stuff was our doing. It was all the Lord's doing. And if the Lord isn't with us, we've got nowhere to go. And it was one of those things you had to be there. Maybe it just had to be me at the time when I was thinking it, but it was just so poignant and so crystallized how important that was and how important our strength isn't and how his strength is. More of him, less of us. I mean, it was just wanted to remind us all of that. So this is what we ended up doing.
It's a briefing room for the IDF, and it was a mess.
And this, the left picture is a cleaned up version of mess. I mean, there were old mattresses. It was a huge pile of junk. Minor birds that were all over the place. They're like, what are you guys doing?
Beside it was literally a mountain of trash.
It was taken out of there.
We had taken out and made it into grass and
wires hanging all over the place. I mean, so that was done in a few days' time, and it was a lot of work. Plus, that you can't see. And then at the end, a plaque from Almond Branch just dedicating this room. I mean, you can't read the words, but. It was very, very similar, very nice words.
And scripture.
And, I can't read that. Can you read that? Okay. Well, if you want to read it, I've got it. See me afterwards. We can read it. I tried to get it, but anyway. So, this is the last slide. I think it's just some final thoughts as we reflected on this. It was not an easy trip for a lot of different reasons. The work was long and hard. Nobody complained. I mean, I feel like we were, you just saw the attitude of the people. Somebody needed something, somebody did it. If this didn't work, we'd try this. I mean, it was just that the whole time. So it made the many, many hour days feel like they were worthwhile, just because it was a fun group of people that weren't young, to do. Everybody asked us why we were there. I mean, we were praying for that God absolutely answered that prayer. Everybody wanted to know why we were there, opened the doors for being able to share things similar to what John shared with the group. They were genuinely appreciative. It was not fake, and I already mentioned that. One of the things, though, in this last bullet, which I think is very encouraging to me, the many on the base in particular expressed, because a lot of these people were not like, oh, you know your Old Testament better than I do. I mean, we'd get that comment, but they expressed their sincere frustration with religion. They're tired of religion. Religion doesn't work. And that was so cool because you see, you know what? God completely agrees with you. He doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. So that was such a great opportunity to spread that and very encouraging to hear that from people there. Despite the fact that God's hardened their hearts for a time, a part of that process is them recognizing that nothing's happening with this. It doesn't work. God, and that's not what God intended. So being able to express that to them was really a blessing.
We couldn't, by law, do that with the children that I was working with. But, I think just being kind to them and loving communicates something about, what Christians are about, So that was all that we could really do with the children, but it was a lot. It was good.
Yep, absolutely. I think that that's all we have. And I think thank you again for your prayers, and I thank you for your continued prayers for the seeds planted there.
Praising the Lord for the chance to hear all that. And as I look at some things I wrote, I have Martin Short, Santa Shushan, Igali, Nagar, the two girls with the bags, the military folks, not underestimating the kids. That's the list I'm taking to prayer this afternoon and tonight and this week. And I just encourage us all, tarry in prayer after what we've heard. Continue to tarry in prayer. And when you hear about the perspective from them in terms of Christianity, it just reiterates what we're seeing going on with the Bride of Christ here and turning away from what we know in the Word of God. So it is an opportunity. Tarry in prayer. Stand for truth. And thank you, both of you, for sharing and going. And let's just all pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day that you've given us, Lord. And Father, thank you for all that was able to be done on this Almond Branch trip, Lord Jesus. Many seeds planted, Father God. Lord, we pray you bring the laborers to water the seeds. And Father, these relationships that are built and continued, Father God, you know the hearts of each and every single person, Lord. And as they reflect on the time that they've had with Almond Branch, Lord, and as they look at the plaque, Lord, I just pray, soften hearts and bring them to repentance unto relationship with you, Lord Jesus. At the school, that they would remember, Lord Jesus, that it's just a deck, it's just a wall, Lord, but there is eternal things that matter way more, Lord, and that they would come and give it all to you. Father, thank you that you got our brother and sister there safely, brought them back home safely, Lord. Thank you that they are back, Lord. Thank you for their sharing, Lord Jesus. And Father God, just continue to lead and guide this body of believers as we continue to stand with Israel, Lord, and pray and bring your word forth, Lord, and love and bless the people that you call us to, Lord, in obedience unto you. Father, thank you for this time. I pray that you be with us the rest of this day and be with us when we gather tonight to come in your throne room in prayer. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen.